This is CliffCentral.com.
Hello and welcome to it. You are listening to the weekly mashup. It is like the female invasion in here. And it is so funny because yesterday was Women's Day and we were talking about how we all should be empowered. And here I am struggling to use a microphone. Anyway, it is your girl, Candace Mama. And you are listening to the weekly mashup with my new co-host. I have fired Tamisha Masha. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, guys. I'm kidding. She's looking at me like, the pressure. You should know her voice by now. The always opinionated, the always funny. Zee Hamtetwa.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
You light up when you're in here.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. You always pretend like you don't want to do the show, and then you come in here and you're just like, damn.
You like. That's not true. I don't do that.
Whatever. So Women's Day was yesterday. How did you feel? What did you do?
Oh, I actually like cleaned.
That sounds so backwards.
Okay, well, to give you context to it, yes. My grandmother has a house that we're going to be renting out. We had to kind of get it prepared, like cleaned for the tenants. So my sister and I were like, this is a DIY job. Yeah. Ooh, guys. Yo. Yeah, that was a workout and a half. Just saying. So that's what I did.
You ended up working more on your public holiday.
Yes.
Than you would here.
Because we thought we're just going to mop and then like dusting. Oh no. That house was like, ooh, y'all have not been here for months. There is dust. There are spiders. There's this and that. Oh, it was, it took the whole day. But I'm here. So hey.
You know what? I'm happy you're here. But so tell me something actually. Women's Day, it's such a strange occasion for me personally. But I want to know, what does it mean to you?
Oh, I think I'm the wrong person to ask.
No, I think you're the right person to ask because you're still so young.
Yeah, but I'm also like over these days. Yes. Right. Like I'm over like, I'm not one person who, like, women should be celebrated all year.
Like me now.
65 days.
Yep.
So for me, it's like, one day. Yes, I am a woman. Hallelujah. Viva. It's kind of redundant for me. It's kind of like, oh, okay, cool, you know? But, you know, it is important to take time and just embrace the fact that you are a woman. We wear so many caps all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, 1 minute you're mom, 1 minute you're a businesswoman, 1 minute you are
sister, cousin,
minister of, you're minister of finance, minister of transport, minister of education, minister of this, minister of that,
minister of house maintenance.
You know, and then and you don't get the credit that you're supposed to get, and we're still living in a patriarchal society. Mm-hmm. So I get the whole like, Women's Day, but I'm just over these days, all of them. Like,
you know what it is? I think that besides the fact that Women's Day is there to celebrate all the women that have paved the way for us, you know, to be where we are today, that is great. And that's an incredible achievement, right?
Yes,
it deserves a celebration. But you know what I feel like this public holiday is like sometimes? It's like going to a buffet and then being told you can't have anything else at the buffet, but we'll give you a chicken wing, you know? And so it's like, you know, when you go and ask your boss for a raise, and then he's like, you are such a valued employee, but the company can't handle you, like, you know, can't handle giving you a raise, right? But we love you. We love you. Stay.
And we appreciate you.
We appreciate you.
And maybe in a few years, you can get that 2% raise. But stay.
Right?
No, stay. Really stay.
Right? And then we fall for it. We forget that Bob is like doing the same job you're doing. Bob does not get the praise, but he gets the paycheck.
Yeah.
And here you are being like, employee of the month. No, I don't want to be employee of the month. I want to be paycheck of the month. Okay. Like, I want my money.
It's so funny that a couple of weeks ago, I started reading this book, Nice Girls Get the Corner Office or Don't Get the Corner Office.
I think it's Don't, but go on.
Yeah, something like that. And I thought like, and I think her first chapter was just like how you don't have to be the most hardworking. Mm-mm. You don't have to be the most diligent, obedient, most skilled,
you know what's funny?
Knowledgeable person.
Yeah.
As a female, for you to say, hey, this is what I'm worth.
Yeah.
This is what I bring to the party. And this is what I expect from the organization. We as women are scared to negotiate.
Oh, yeah.
We're so scared. We come in, we're like, oh, you want me to do 8 to 5? Okay, I can do 8 to 5.
Eight
but
to
you know,
seven.
I will also put in, you know, a 6 to 8. at 10, you know, and then you can also call me at 11 o'clock at night because I'll work. And it's fine. I'll get paid less than my counterpart because, you know, I'm a woman. I'm a mom and I'm just happy. I'm happy to be here. The mere fact that you took me in, I'm happy. Thank you so much.
It's an attendance award.
Yes.
Like, thank you for my attendance sticker. I will take it and I'll put it on my desk. Even though you guys are like knocking out up at 5, like, oh my gosh, well done. And everyone, all the men as they're leaving the office are patting your back. Oh, hardest worker on the team, man. Hardest worker on the team. Yeah. Least paid worker on the team. But hardest worker on the team. Yes, girl, get it. Don't leave until 10.
Show me the money. Show me the money. I think, you know, we need to spin Women's Day into an educational day where women are taught how to negotiate, where the next day you can go back to your boss and be like, you know what, brother, I've been doing this for a couple of months now. This is what I've brought. This is what I can bring. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about our time. Time is so important. And a lot of people don't value their own time. And females especially, you know you have 100 million of things to do in a certain amount of time. So you need to space that, and you need to understand that if I'm going to work for you, I need to make sure if I'm here for 8 hours that I'm getting paid an 8 hours worth of
income.
Income. And you know, or else deuces, I'm out.
You know what kills me though? And I think this is actually what I was going to go to as well with Women's Day. I feel like Women's Day should be negotiation day in terms of women in the, shouldn't be given a public holiday because goodness, we don't need another one. What we should do though is be in the workplace, and for once, we actually get to structure our own policies. And then we stop being placed as figureheads in meetings, because I hate that. Like, I'll attend a meeting with one other female, right, who works for a particular company. And all the men will speak. All the men will speak. And when she speaks, they're like, Okay, so anyway, like Bob was saying before Susan interrupted, was, excuse me? Like, I'm just like, and then I get mad on behalf of Susan. I'm like, Susan, girl, say something. And Susan's looking at me like, no, girl, I need my paycheck. Like, you say something. You're going to leave at the end of this, you know? And it's still like, I still find in the corporate environment that a man will take a woman's idea and then phrase it as his own.
Yes.
So Susan will speak, right? And then Bob will be like,
well, okay, what is, and it's actually the same thing.
Yes, it's actually, it's like he didn't even articulate it as well. He'll be like, so what I think is like, we should probably restructure that facility, and we should probably bring in a few more men there. Oh my gosh, Bob. That's why we love Bob. Bob is innovative, guys. Bob does, gets the job done. And Susan's sitting there like, but I said what Bob said. Like, I drew up the document Bob is reading to you right now. Like,
yeah, and then they'll be like, yeah, Susan, you'll be on top of that. I'd like the report Monday, 10 o'clock, okay? Thank you so much.
And thanks, Susan, thanks. Would you like to get us coffee while you just go? Because it looks like you're going to get yourself a coffee. Just like, you're like, what? Where are we? And you know, it's so funny because we laugh about these things, but they're so true, right?
They're so true. I think also, it's not, one other thing that also needs to be addressed is the PhD. Pull her down syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
It's so real.
Tell me about it.
It is alive.
How do you experience it?
Ooh, child. You know, I wouldn't say I've experienced it personally in the workplace that I'm currently at.
Okay, but that's a dope workplace.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. You know? But I've seen it. And the conversations I've had with other females, my sister, she'll be like, you know, I spoke to my boss today. I'd like to do this and that in the organization. Yeah. And she's also female. Mm. And she's older. And she's thinking, oh, she'll understand that. Okay, this is what you want to do. Next minute, she's being told, oh, no, you can't do this. And you're not ready for that. And you can't, what? And all the opportunities are being shut down because of one woman. Mm. And she's also had the same conversation with a man where he's like, yes, go. Run with it.
Yeah.
And it's like, but why do we do that to ourselves? Why do we close off the door? Why are we not passing the baton onto, you know,
younger
females who say, you know what, this is my idea, this is what I'd like to do. I know I'm not skilled, but teach me, because you are the more educated one. And then someone's like, no, you know what,
I've got too much on my plate.
You can't do this. I'm not finished.
Can I play devil's advocate? And I completely agree with you on this one, but playing devil's advocate, let's say this woman, right, who's finally the boss now, or she's maybe second management, second tier management. So when she, by the time she gets there, you must know how much, how many shut ups she's gotten in the boardroom, how many ideas she's had stolen in the boardroom, how many coffee she's had to get in a senior position for the junior staff. You know, like, oh, Susan, shit, just, you know, you're making coffee. Why don't you make for the whole office?
I like it black.
Two sugars for me, one cream. Thanks. Excuse me. You know. Is there a sweetener? Is there a sweetener? No, I don't drink sugar. Hey, my wife says it's bad for my diabetes. It's bad. So, you know, so by the time she gets there, she's got a certain jaded edge to her that she feels like she's got to become one of the guys and work like one of the guys. Don't you think that's the situation that we're facing?
Yeah, but at the same time, if you want change to happen, you also need to understand that you went through what you went through. You have the experience that you do. And the next person doesn't need to go through that abusive cycle as well, because it is an abusive cycle. It's harsh. And yes, it changes the way you see things and it changes the way you interact with people in the workplace. But you also need to understand that that Banton needs to be passed over. And we don't need a broken Banton. We don't need a bruised Banton. Okay, we need just somebody to give us the Banton, okay? Please.
Just pass on the damn baton, people. Just pass it on.
Because that's the only way opportunities, and that's the only way we're going to have more females feeling confident in the fact that they can go up to their yes, and say, you know what? I can do this.
Do you feel a certain pressure? Because I feel this pressure, whereby you kind of feel like you're the first of your generation to be like breaking a certain barrier. So the generation before us broke certain hurdles, right?
Yes.
They broke the glass ceiling in terms of women can now be powerful and they can be CEOs and they can do all these great things. And then they kind of left this gap open because they didn't, there's no trail behind them. So we're just looking at them like, oh damn, there's Oprah, there's me. How am I going to get to Oprah? You know? So like, I feel like this burden lies on my shoulders to like, not only craft a path for myself, but for all the people behind me that will be coming into this pathway. So do you feel like there's a pressure on you to like to act a certain way and to negotiate a certain way and to stand up for yourself more in the workplace?
Yes. But at the same time, being like a young person who's just gotten like kind of her first job and first gig, you know, I'm still kind of trying to see what is it that I'm supposed to do, what not. It's also like I feel like I've found that being me is the best thing ever.
Oh yeah, authenticity, right?
Yes, being ignorant at certain times is bliss. It's perfect. It works because I'm young and it's like I've never had a job, so I don't know. Oh
yeah,
when you say deadline, you actually meant deadline. I'm kidding. But but also other things like just taking the time to say, okay, these are my dreams and I know where I want to see myself in the next 5 years. So I think as a millennial, a lot of people suffer from instant gratification.
Oh yeah, 100%.
So I'm here as an intern, but I know where I want to see myself in 10 years' time. You know,
there's a projection. There's a future goal.
So I think that's what we suffer a lot from, because Oprah did not become Oprah
overnight.
It took her years before we all knew her voice and before we were all like, I want to be on the Oprah Winfrey Show so she can be like, you get a prize, you get a prize.
Right?
You get
a car, you get a car. We all get cars.
Yes, I mean... So you need to also understand that you can enter a workplace and it's okay to make mistakes.
And it's okay to be at the bottom.
Yes. It's okay to be like, okay, I came in here. When I first came in here, I just needed the money. So whatever they gave me, I took it. I ran with it. Cool.
When they were like coffee, I'd be like, how many, sir?
Yes.
How many sugars are that?
It's okay. And then like after a couple of months, after you've kind of wisened up and seen, oh, okay, no, this is not my place. I'm not the tea lady. I actually have a brain and I have ideas. Let me take that up to someone. Yeah. Then you like, okay, who do I speak to? Who are my allies up in here? Where do I go?
Game of Thrones.
Yeah, life is like a chessboard, y'all.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I've kind of learned. It's a chessboard. You also need to know who do you go to for advice. You know, who do you befriend?
Not everyone's got your best interest, right?
But who do you befriend in the organization who's been there longer than you, who can tell you that, I don't think you should talk to this person right now with this idea, but I think maybe if you go to this person, speak to them, make it seem as if you guys partnered up, they're more likely to listen to you.
Yeah.
So you're learning things like that, and then you grow, and you're like, okay, well, next time, I'm not going to wait for them to approach me. I will approach them.
Take initiative.
Yes. By you learning, you know, like that. You'll be able to say next time when someone's like, yeah, can you mentor me? You'll be like, yes, girl.
Because I know. I wrote the playbook on my way here.
Yes. And I'm happy to share that story. Because I feel like a lot of women that are in those CEO positions, because no one told them that it's going to be hard, it's going to be ugly, they expect now everyone must go through this pain. No, child, no.
Exactly. And I think that sometimes we need to understand that there are different pains that we can experience, right? Yes. So they experience one type of pain, getting to that position. We can experience our own hurdles without having to take on their burden as well.
Yes.
Right? So it's not about saying, make it easy for me to get there, because you don't want it to be easy.
Yeah.
Of course you don't. You don't want it to be easy. You want it to be like, just let me climb, for goodness sake.
Yes.
Like, stop kicking me down every time I climb a step.
All you want is the opportunity to prove yourself.
Yes.
That's all you essentially want.
Yes.
Because once you're given that opportunity, whether you make it a success or whether it's a failure, it's all up to you and who you are as a person. Mm-hmm. But if I can open that door, because we've been trying to open the door, y'all, and that door seems shut.
No, right now we're actually creating our own door, brick by brick.
And it's like it's taking forever. You're only
getting to the handle now. You're like, shoo.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
And that's all we're saying is, we're not saying, guarantee me that job.
The opportunity. Just looking for the opportunity.
You know, we just, so that we can prove that we are good enough. Mm. That we, in fact, we're not even good. We are better. We are enough.
How do you avoid the millennial trap of instant gratification?
Okay, well, so what I personally do from time to time is I unplug. I unplug from all social media. Mm-hmm. I unplug from all negativity.
Jeez, but so you don't pose with money stacks in your hand or anything?
Oh, child, I'm not even at that level. I'm still at the level where I'm like cumbering.
Posing with other people's cars?
No, I'm at the level where I'm like at the corner having my one finger up waiting for a taxi to come.
Town,
yes. How much? Four.
And how do you speak? Okay, so do you speak Vanak in a taxi?
Oh, yes, you have to change, child.
Right? You can't be speaking the way we're speaking now, right?
No, like, so, like, one thing I've learned
is that
you have to adapt to your environment.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So when I get to work, hi, everybody, how you doing?
How you doing, Pop?
When I'm out there in the taxi. Yeah, Unjan. Is, come back. It changed your shorter. Yeah. Munch. Okay. Sharp. Short left.
You know, I tried that once. I tried the whole I'm gonna stay bougie in a taxi thing.
Ooh, child, bye.
And then I was like, can I please just stop there? And the guy ignored me, and I'm like,
yes.
I'm like robot. And then finally I had to be like, robot.
You see?
And then he was like, oh, okay, I hear you. Well
yeah, you need to adapt in your environment. But for me, I've done that, and I've there are times where I just unplug from people and everything, and I'm like, okay, what is this goal that you want to achieve? And it just so happens that I want to be like mom. Oh, you know?
Yeah.
So what does she do? How long did it take her? What's her story? How old was she when she was...
Well, you're starting at a good place. You know?
I hope, you
at
know.
At least you're in radio.
Yes.
For one.
And I'm behind the mics.
Right.
Number two. Ding.
Right.
But it's doing that. And then also just saying like, oh, she had her own show for 25 seasons, 23 seasons.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
But when did I actually know Oprah? It was after so many seasons. Okay, so that's how long it's going to take.
Mm.
And
everyone's path is different. So you can't even benchmark. All you can do is be like, you know what? I need to just keep moving until I get to where I'm going.
Yes. Right? One thing also, I'm like, own lane, own pace.
Don't you think sometimes the biggest, what I've found is the biggest hurdle for women is that sometimes they're not looking at their own lane. They're so busy looking at everyone else's lane. They're like, oh my gosh, but she's married. Oh my gosh, but she's this. That one is this and that one. And by the time you're looking at your own lane, so many weeds have grown, you don't even know where to start.
You know, people need to look at athletes when they run.
Mm-hmm.
They're not looking at the guy next to
them. And the one that is usually the one at the back.
Yes. So take just some advice from how they do it, is that you just need to focus on what you want to achieve. And you know, we all have different dreams. Someone might be, okay, they dream, might, I just want to graduate.
Mm.
That is a 3-year, 4-year dream.
Yeah, and I'll figure it out.
And
I'll figure it out when I get there.
Once that they have achieved that, they have to come up with another dream. Whereas you're going to say, I want to be a mogul.
Mm-hmm.
Now, being a mogul and graduating is two different things, because the one is 3 or 4 years, the other one is 10 years. Yes, 10 years plus in you crafting and making sure that you are the best at whatever you want to achieve. So you need to also know how long is that going to take you. You can't just be up in here saying that, you know, I want to be a mogul and it's going to happen overnight. Bye, child.
But you know what? I think the biggest thing for me is you need to always never lie to yourself. And I feel like that's what a lot of people do. They're so busy lying to everyone else that they start lying to themselves. So they'll be like, oh, while y'all are sleeping, I'm hustling. No, bye.
While we were hustling, you were sleeping.
I woke up at 6. Now you want to be mad at me because I'm sleeping. You know, but it's also like people want to be perceived as working harder than they do. And then they lie about how much work they're getting done. So yes, they're sitting with a laptop and they're saying, you know, I'm doing this to, you know, make my dream come true. But most of that time they're busy like on YouTube, you know. True. And sometimes what I found is when people listen to motivational videos and clips and stuff, they think that's the work. They're like, oh my God, Tony Robbins told me I could do it. Shit, I can do it. Then they don't actually do anything about it. And you're like, you can watch Tony Robbins all day. you're not going to turn into Mark Zuckerberg by watching Tony Robbins. Like, you got to actually get out on the track and do something.
Yes, you have to start. And I think a lot with most of these motivationals, they're always pushing you to just start.
Start.
Do it. Like, whatever idea you have.
Do
whatever,
it.
Just, if you want to work there, go. Send your CV. Say you want to be an intern, say you'll come in for once a week. Like, start. Don't just think that you've watched me and I'm telling you about my story and I'm telling you that, hey,
oh damn, oh, Steve Harvey slept on the couch for 10 years.
Oh
shit.
Yeah.
That means me and Steve are the same,
you know.
Like no, nigga, Steve was working. He was working in those 10 years.
Yes. you know? And you also need to understand that a lot of people are seeing like these new money, as I'll put it.
Yes.
New money such as your Nasty C's. Now their first car
is a Mercedes.
Yes. And you're thinking, okay, then my first car is also going to
Is going to be a Maserati.
Yes.
Because I'm better than Nasty C.
Yeah, because I'm 19. Child, do you know that when Nasty C was in high school, he was busy dropping mixtapes and EPs?
Yeah.
Do you know that he, 3 years before he was actually discovered, he sent a bunch of emails, and one of the emails went to Ricky Rick, and he read it, and he was like, this kid is another one. And 3 years later, he was like, damn it, I should have signed him. Damn it. You know what I mean? Like, you need to understand the story behind it, that it's not an overnight success. You do work in the background,
and
you know, you prepare yourself in this time of you being a nobody.
Mm.
You prepare yourself so that when your glow up comes, you're ready.
You're ready to take it, right?
Yes.
Because opportunity comes knocking. Like, you'll get a couple of opportunities in your life, but when you start missing opportunities, it becomes a pattern.
Yeah.
Because then you never feel prepared to take them.
Yes.
And how do you handle rejection? Because I mean, I've handled a lot of rejection letters, or even worse, where people just ignore you. I think that's even worse than rejection. Like, I'd rather be like, you're not what we're looking for, than be like, I'm just going to bomb you.
I remember, so when I like was sending out a bunch of emails for like an internship, because I was like, okay, well, I'm at home now and this is the dream. I got the degree, but this is me. I want to go into media.
Yeah.
And I sent out a bunch.
Oh, and media's difficult. People are cold out
there. Yeah. And you know what the worst thing was? No one actually replied to say, there are no vacancies. Oh no.
Did they get my email?
Yeah. Did it bounce?
In the beginning you start lying to yourself.
Yeah.
Like, I'm great. They just didn't get my email.
Yeah. And it was like, I really took a knock in terms of my self-confidence, because I was just like, I know me. I'm talented. I'm smart.
And how is your family handling this? Because for me, that was my hardest part.
Because so
my family would look at me like,
you know,
are you going to media? Mm. Go get a job at, like, so, even Checkers is fine.
No, my family, I've always told them that I want to be mom. And they're like, okay, my child, but study.
Yes.
Okay, my child, but do this.
Yes.
Okay.
In the meantime, don't you want to do this?
Yes. So when I was sending out these emails, they were like, my sister would be like, you know, just send your CV here.
There's an opening at the call center as well. Just while you're looking.
And I was just like, no, I'm not doing that. No, it's going to come. She's like, okay, well, it's been like
coming.
3 months now. Yeah.
This time, deep down, you're feeling it. But outside, you're like, I'm fighting you. Like, it's not going to happen.
And I was like, you know what? I'd rather start off as earning 500 rand a month.
Yeah.
Because I know where I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the trap of getting financial security, of you getting a job.
It becomes like a rat race, right?
Yes. You get a job at a call center and you do so good, then you get a promotion. Next minute, you're earning 25K.
Next thing, the bank is calling you. They're giving you loans that you didn't ask for.
Yeah.
They're like, we give giving you $500,000 bank loan. You're like, oh, cool. Oh,
okay, thanks. I'll
take
that.
I can also get a Mercedes.
Oh, okay, cool. I'll take that. Yeah. And I'm 22, looking bougie. Bad and bougie. Right? Okay, I'll take that. Cool. And it's a trap. And you're like, oh my gosh. And then before you know it, you're 30 and you're like, but where did my life go?
This and is then not you're 40. And then you're mad at your kids because your life didn't go the way you wanted it to go.
Yes, you're like, if I didn't have you, okay, I could have.
And your kid is like, why did you have me though, mother?
Yeah, like I could have been sipping on Ciroc as well. Do you not see, like, child bar? Like, you know,
I was the next Oprah in the making. You should have seen this one newspaper article. Look at this little square.
And
it was me.
Oh, you talk about that ex-boyfriend. Yeah, I dated you, funny. Yeah, well, beautiful. Me and your phonic man.
You know, I was his first love, actually.
You know what? I used to go to the studio with him.
Before he became Black Coffee, I was his first love. He told me I was his muse. Yes. Now he's out there with P. Diddy. He thinks he doesn't know me, but he knows me.
He knows me.
Like, if we had to walk in a mall, he'd be like, oh, Candace. Yeah. And I'd be like, oh, Black. And then your kids will look at you like, Ma, you know his name ain't Black Coffee, right?
You see, so I knew I'd never wanted to have those stories where I'm like, shoulda, coulda, and woulda. And I stuck it out and... Look at you now. Yes, I got eventually that one email that actually replied back to me.
And that's the only one that matters,
was
right?
Was Rena. And I was like, thank you, Rena. I was like, yes, it's happening. And now I am here at Cliff Central and hopefully we just carry on.
There's no hope in it, girl. There's a hustle. As long as you keep it moving, it's going to keep moving.
Yeah.
Like, you can't stay in one place.
Yeah, you can't. But, you know, it's a start and people need to know that it's
Start somewhere, people.
It's not easy, but it's worth it.
Oh yes, girl. So now I actually want to bring in our guests who are also very powerful women, and I actually just want to get their take first. So I'm going to introduce them, then I'm going to get their take on what they think about Women's Day. So the first one is Cherise Williams, entrepreneur and owner of Williams Professional Recruiters. Hey Cherise, speak into the mic. Is it on? Because I feel like I can't hear her. Yes, okay. Yes, girl, I hear you.
It wasn't my fault.
It wasn't your fault. Let me actually introduce our next amazing, amazing, amazing guest, Rona Erasmus. You are also an entrepreneur, but you also happen to be a Mrs. South Africa 2017 finalist. Hello.
Yes, hi. Hi, Candace.
How are you doing?
I'm very well. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh, excited. I'm so glad. I'm so glad to have you guys in studio, especially talking about Women's Day and women's rights. So I just want to get a small take from you guys. So what do you feel about, you know, Women's Day as a day that women get? So just your personal opinions. So we can start with you, Cherise.
Okay, perfect. You know, I celebrate women, and I think it's a wonderful day that we actually, you know, when you do come from a corporate background like myself, that you are able to actually have a day off. I know it sounds, you were saying the complete opposite,
yes.
You know, it should be a day that we fight for more rights and stuff like that. But when you do come from corporate, sometimes you just need...
A recharge.
Mm. And that's how I see women say, you know, you get the recognition and you get to recharge and you get to, enjoy it.
And with your experience in the corporate space, right, do you feel like women are being treated fairly? Is it changing? Is it not changing?
Not at all. That's one of the reasons why I left.
Mm.
And it's very difficult for women. You're constantly undermined. Mm. Like you said, you know, if you're sitting in a boardroom meeting, you actually... they groom you to be fearful.
Mm.
Speak when spoken to. Ooh. Type of situation.
So it's still a very patriarchal society we're living in.
Yes, definitely.
That is scary. And you, Rona, so what do you think about Women's Day?
You know, I actually tend to agree with you more on that, Candace, seeing as I have my own businesses.
Mm, mm.
Especially in the middle of the week, any public holiday is quite rough.
Right.
But I think it's great recognizing women. But as you said earlier as well, it should be every day of the week.
Right.
It should
be. Like, men have Men's Day all day.
All the every time. Day. I actually watched a little video clip and they asked men, what do they think about not having a Men's Day? And I thought, really? 364 days for men, one for us? Seriously.
And you want to complain?
Now. Come now.
Like, take away the little bit of joy we have?
Yes. But, you know, it's great to just think back of the women that stood up for us and that started to pave this way for us. And luckily, as it sounds, I'm doing my own thing.
Yes.
So, and my employees are all women.
Oh, I love that.
Which is great. So we're women for women. And I would really like to just carry on with it. And I also feel that in this, we empower women. And we should empower each other. So, as you said, if someone is in a business, there's a woman that actually went to the top.
Yes.
Yeah. To really look out for sisters, you know? I mean, how can we actually, you know, get this women empowerment thing going and going strong is to stand up for each other.
Yes.
Which we don't do. I don't really understand why.
But there's one thing you said to me once, and I found it very interesting, and it actually resonated with me, whereby a lot of the time, women, we feel like when you give someone a compliment, like you are giving your thing away. So Rona and I were joking, and she was like, if I say you beautiful, it means I'm no longer beautiful because I just gave you my beauty. Like, now we
sometimes, right?
And that's how people carry on sometimes. Like, if I help you, all of a sudden I'm not great anymore. And it's like, no. It, like, a candle doesn't lose its brightness by lighting another candle. You know what I'm saying?
I think that's our big thing. Us as women, we should really just stand up for each other. If we start doing that, I think we'll see a big change. You know, because the thing is, for one, it's hard. For two, it's a bit better. But if we get that ball rolling, and if we just get that, you know, empower each other and just support each other and be there for each other. And you know what? If you open a business, then employ the women first.
Yes.
You know, why not? Yes. Why can't we do that? If the men can do that, why can't we as well?
Exactly.
And you know, I'm not 100% a feminist. I've got boys. So I would really like to see in the future that there's equal opportunity. But you know, then it should be, if I'm better suited for the job, then give me the job.
Exactly.
And then listen to me when I speak about what I know. You know,
don't make me a placeholder.
That's the thing. That's the thing. Yeah.
You know what? My favorite F word is feminist, actually, because I feel like there's so much misunderstanding around that. Yes. And Sim, you can also jump in here. I think with feminism, I think it's just about what women are just really asking for is equality. Treat us fairly in society. You know, and I mean, a lot of people, I mean, recently with a minister who just hit a woman, and he's still not been convicted of a crime, and he's now only going to court now, and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, men still feel that abusing some men, and I'm not talking about all men. Feminism is not about bashing men.
No.
Feminism is just saying that, you know, because we are a stature, like our stature, we are weaker than men in physicality. So when we say we don't want to be hit by men, we're not saying, oh, you know, we feel bad for it. We're saying because you are bigger, you've got more testosterone in your blood, you know, and in employment. All we're saying is recognize us when we do good work.
I agree with you. As you said, I'm not like a 100% feminist.
Yeah.
I believe in feminism in the workplace.
Yes.
And then I believe in a 50-50 relationship, but you also need to understand what does your partner bring in the relationship.
Yes.
So you kind of have to know his strength. And like, if he's a good cook and I'm not, let's play on that.
Yes.
But if I'm the great cook and vice versa, let's, you know.
And that comes down to communication.
Yes,
with
it
your
does.
Partner, right?
Yes, it does. So I think a lot of people get that misconstrued when I'm like, I'm a feminist. And I'm like, but I still believe in cooking for my like, yes, because it's a 50-50 relationship. What I bring to the party, he brings the same.
Yeah.
In the workplace, I think it's so important because I'm a young black girl who's only entering the workplace now, but there's so much changing from social media to how we interact with people, and the world has become smaller, that it's so important to feel empowered in that workplace.
Yes.
It's so important to be able to say, you know what, I have an idea and I think we should do this, and tell me that, okay, you know what, someone's actually used that idea, child, but don't put it in such a manner where I feel broken.
Yes.
And I think that's what's happening, is that when they do tell women, when women do say, you know what, I have this idea, and then, you know, John will just be like, it's that idea. No. And you like start questioning, okay, what did I do wrong?
Did I say it wrong?
Did I, you know, you don't know what you did wrong. So you start questioning you as a whole, and not, oh, that was a bad idea.
I
didn't phrase that. Oh, okay. I see what I see what the organizational culture is. And I think that's what needs to change.
I so agree with you. And Charisse, when you started your company, right? Do you find that you get a lot of support from being a female, you know, running your own business? And I'm going to ask Rona the same question.
Well, initially, no. You know, a lot of people were like, how can you leave a job? It's your security.
Yeah,
you're getting
and it's
paid every single month. You know, why would you leave your job and get no money? You know, work for no money. And I was like, because it's what makes me happy. So I found that I selected certain people in my life that I would be open with about my journey. And they have been consistently supportive. But, you know, there's certain people who have approached me.
Mm.
And they'll be like, give me some advice. You know, you've started your own business. What is it like? And, you know, I'll give them the advice and they'll look at me like, oh, she's going to fail soon.
Oh, no.
And, you know, the smile. I'm like, okay,
she should have stayed in her job.
Yeah, she should have stayed in her job. But, you know, yeah. I'm enjoying the journey and I'm loving it. Funny enough, the most recent comment or suggestion I got given was from a friend of mine that said, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. You're female, you're black, and if you're slightly attractive, you're going to have a very difficult time. Maybe you should just look at getting a partner in that's male. Mm. And I was like, wow.
Yes. And and I hate to actually agree with that because I found the same thing and I got the same advice. And it's actually been, there's certain environments where you do feel crippled as a woman, and especially when you look a certain way, because apparently you're supposed to look a certain way when you go into... I'm also like... like if a man happens to find you attractive in a work environment, then all of a sudden what you actually have to offer in the business space no longer holds water
at all.
And it's almost like you don't get taken as seriously as you should be, you know. So I do get the whole getting a male partner thing, but you know what, you can still do it without one.
Definitely,
like I'm doing it without one, so you know, I'm fine.
Yeah.
And Rona, how's it for you?
You know what, Candace? I'm very fortunate. I'm in the education sector.
Mm.
And luckily, in that sector, it's more women. So when I started the baby center that I have, we work with kids from 3 months to 3 years. It actually went amazing. In my sector, if you're good for a child, you're good to the mom and dad.
Mm.
And if the child's happy, the mom and dad's happy. So for me, that's amazing. And then in my other business, it's a franchising business, Pinkfoot Pret. We do stimulation classes for moms and babies, and my partner started it. And you know, we've just been really blessed, and we're growing. So I don't feel the stuff that the corporate
people
feel. So I'm very blessed and fortunate with that. But I can actually, you know, also take what was just said into this Mr. South Africa journey.
Mm.
That some people is like, well, what did you think?
Yeah.
You know, why in the world would you do that?
Yeah.
And most people don't really understand what it's about.
Mm.
That it's this amazing women empowerment movement.
Yeah.
It really is not a pageant as we used to anymore.
Yeah.
And otherwise, I would have never done it. This is the first pageanty type of thing that I'm ever doing in my whole life.
Mm.
And you know, it's just amazing to see how much women has come out of that.
Yes.
And have been so empowered, have started businesses. We've just been, yesterday was the launch of one of this year's Mrs. South Africa, of her own business that she started. Yes.
Okay.
So you know, it's just, for me, it's just amazing, this journey to be on the Mrs. South Africa journey. But I also have people, all the naysayers, that's like, you know what, I don't know why you're doing that.
Mm.
I really don't understand it.
Yeah.
Some people, and as you said, the people close to you, they understand, they want to understand. Mm. And even if they don't really understand it, they support you.
Yeah.
And that's the most important.
Mm.
There's also people that you thought would have supported you that don't.
That are like, nope.
And you know what?
I'm jumping.
You know what? It's okay. Because the thing is, we never grow if we don't get out of our comfort zones.
Oh, 100%.
And this is a stepping completely out of your comfort zone, being in a pageant like this, being a business owner, you know, starting a job, all of that. And the thing is, that's the only way you're going to grow.
And do you find that the women in the pageant are supportive of one another?
Candace, if you asked me this before I entered, I would have said, oh, you know what, I'm sure they're all going to try and be, but they're not going to be true
about
pretend.
It.
You know, they're going to pretend.
Yeah.
But I can promise you, there's 24 other ladies with me that is so supportive that they've become my sisters.
Wow.
We always talk about the sisterhood, and it really is a sisterhood. It's these amazing ladies, and we're all just there for each other, rooting each other on.
Mm.
And although every one of the 25 wants to win, we want the crown.
Of course.
You know, we're not gonna,
no one enters not to win.
Not to win. But I can truly and honestly say that it's just amazing to be with them. Yesterday I was with a lot of them again. We had a cancer fundraiser, and you know, that was just awesome.
Yeah.
All of them, and we actually feed off each other's energies.
Mm.
So when the ones down a little bit, we can actually see it by now. We know each other well.
Okay, yeah.
So now I have to say, it's they're going to be my sisters. I don't know if they know it and if they want to, but they stuck with
you
me.
You will love me.
They are
you
stuck will with love me.
No, but I'm always supportive of spaces where women can come together and actually be supportive of one another. I mean, look, women as a whole, we do bond over, like, you know, sometimes just gossiping a little here, as long as it's not malicious and, you know, and we bond over small things. But I love it when overall the feeling of support is there, because that's where I feel like sometimes we lack as women in supporting one another in this, you know, journey. And I mean, entrepreneurship is one of the hardest journeys you can take, especially, you know, as a woman. You know, and everyone's like, oh, I don't go around saying as a man. Yes, because you don't have to. You know, when you're not facing oppression and obstacles, you don't have to declare yourself. You don't have to be like, I am a black female in the world. You know, it's like, yes, we see that. We see that, you know. And men don't have to do that. They don't have to declare their status, because, you know what, the world does move for men. Because also, when a woman is in a powerful position, what do you call bossy? It's like, she's so bossy, you know.
Controlling.
When a man is in a powerful position, wow, he's a great leader. Yes. You know, I love that he's so matter-of-factly.
And so direct.
He doesn't beat about the bush. I love that about Billy. And then when it's Susan, it's like, why is Susan such a bitch?
Why is she so angry?
That's why she doesn't have a man. You know? And I feel like until we can get past those barriers, that's when we'll actually become something. Sharice, you've actually started something very recently. Your company, Woman Williams Professional Recruiters, has teamed up with a women's abuse organization called Tears, which I'm a proud ambassador of. So tell me about, a little bit about what you're going to be doing with them.
Well, I actually approached them because I wanted to give back in some form of a way. You know, that's from the time I opened up my company, that's something I'm very passionate about. And I just felt like I needed the time and the correct people.
Yes.
And so I teamed up. Well, I contacted the Tears Foundation and I let them know that I would like to have a yard sale. And so what we'll be doing is we are going to be selling, you know, secondhand belongings or whatever the case may be. But also it gave me an opportunity to bring women that are newly in business as well to come to, you know, to be a part of this event and also get their businesses out there. So to also, you know, kind of help women give back to women that are less fortunate, you know. And in the process, they can also get some more business and get, you know, some more publicity for their own company. So I've teamed up with them. It will be at Broad Acres. We're going to be, so certain ladies, for example, have body products. Another lady has her own bakery. She does beautiful wedding cakes and, you know, all sorts of cakes. And myself, for example, I don't have any product to sell, but I do have a service to offer. I can get my company out there. You know, I hand out my pamphlets, my flyers, and still sell secondhand belongings. The aim is to make as much money as possible so that we can give it to the Tears Foundation. And yeah, just this is something that I really hope continues to grow annually. And so I made sure that I got it going this year.
And I'm very proud of that, because think that it Tears, firstly, for people who don't know, it's it stands for Trauma Education Around Rape and Sexual Abuse. So it helps women who have been in positions where they've been raped or sexually abused, and or even, you know, financially abused, because that's one form of abuse we don't actually speak about. And the money raised will actually go to helping Tears grow as a foundation and to be able to support more of these women. So I think it's a great initiative. And Rona, you do a lot of work with, you know, a charity as well. So would you want to tell us a little bit about your charity?
Yes, well, the Tammy Taylor is a South Africa charity of choice is cancer. So we all need to do a cancer fundraiser. And that's actually quite amazing. We've been to one yesterday and I'm so stiff I can't really stand up. So I think you're going to have to help
What did you guys do?
It was a CrossFit challenge.
Ooh.
And yeah. And I'm not a CrossFitter at all. So, was quite tough. But, you know, all the money raised is going to cancer and to help cancer with research and all of that. So my function is going to be on the 26th of August. And I'm doing a children's show at Atterbury Theatre, seeing as I'm in that industry.
Yes, yes.
So I'm really looking forward to that. But I also work with the NIA Foundation. That's a foundation that looks after or starts startup schools in communities where they don't don't, the people don't really have the means to take their kids to school or to build a school. Mm. So they start up these schools in containers, and then they help them to get to be self-sufficient. Mm. And when they are, they go out, you know, so then they are finished, and then they will go in once every 6 months to a year and go check if everything's still fine. So it's that whole thing of teach someone to catch a fish and don't give him the fish, you know?
Yes.
And then they also train the teachers, which I really love. That's just amazing for me.
Mm. Yeah. And what inspires the need to give back? You know, especially as entrepreneurs, as women, you know, you guys have reached a certain level in your careers and achievements. So what inspired this movement to want to give back?
I think for me, I found that I wanted to make a difference. And the only way I could see myself doing that was to be a leader. And so that's why I decided to become an entrepreneur. And I made sure that when I went into this business, what was hand in hand with my plan to be successful in the business and the corporate field was also, you know, a plan to be successful with giving back and helping empower other younger people. You know, people think there's only one option or two options to being successful. There isn't. If you work hard, if you really just put your mind to it, no matter where you begin, always keep your plan in mind. You will get there. Mm. And that's how my journey began. I never thought that I would be where I am. I knew I wanted to be, but I didn't know when it was going to happen.
Yeah.
And so that's what I want, you know, people to know. And that's why I'm involved as well with the Orlando Children's Home in Soweto. Because, I mean, these children go from one form of confinement to the next when they turn 18. It's actually quite sad. You know, when they turn 18 years old, they then go into a detention center because they don't have anywhere to go. And that's what I'm trying to do as well, to let them know there are options. And that's what I wanted my company to be a part of, helping people get the work they need and the lives they can live. Choose to live.
That's beautiful. And yourself, Rona?
To me, Candace, there's been a lot of people on my journey, and you know, that helped me. They didn't necessarily have any reason to, but they believed in me. And that's why I am where I am today. And I'm so grateful. And I just feel that I need to give back. And my feeling for giving back is that I need to do it on a big platform and on a big scale. And so, I really just want to give back, help and empower people, and especially women. And for me also, being in the industry where I am with education and actually specializing in the very small child, 0 to 3 years, we don't have a lot of, after school studies that you can do in that sector. I can't just what I'm doing, and I'm doing it well, and the people working with me is so amazing. We can't just keep it there.
I mean,
we can't just keep it with 50 or 100 kids. We need to spread it worldwide if we can.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm really passionate about early childhood education, and just to let people know how important it is.
Jeez. Yeah. So I'm inspired. Sam, are you inspired to do something that will give back?
Yes. You know. I am.
I feel like pressure. Yes. You are like the pressure.
Hey, don't ask me. Yes, I do.
No, but you did something with Cliff Central recently.
Yes.
Were you guys meant to go paint schools? And
yeah, for 67 minutes.
Yes.
For Mandela Day. So, I mean, as I said earlier, I'm not really a fan of these public holidays. I'm not a fan, but I like what some people do.
Yes.
And I feel like it can be continuous.
Yes.
You know, it's such a great feeling giving back that you wish you could do it all day, every day.
Because it's actually a gift. I've realized that at a certain level, you start realizing that you are selfish in giving, because the high you get from giving is so good that you're doing it both for yourself and for the person who's receiving it, right? Yeah. Because there's nothing like when you realize you've made a change to someone, you're like, oh my gosh, was that me?
Damn. I'm gonna do it again. When's my next time?
And although you don't do it, obviously, you know, for people to be like, all hail Queen Cherise. You know? but deep down, you feel so good about doing it, right? So guys, the show has actually come to an end.
Yeah.
So what do you guys, what are the, I know.
Ask me more questions.
I will. Just one more question for each of you. Like, just a leaving remark. So what would you say, like, just to motivate, to inspire, what message would you leave people with?
I would say take a risk. Never, ever, ever be that scared that you never, ever take a risk. You can't be safe. And the one thing I just, you know, want to get out there is that there's not enough businesswomen in corporate, you know. And I think it's because men so powerfully dominate that industry or area.
Corporate
sector,
is still so patriarchal.
Exactly. That women are scared to take that leap of faith. So I would say take the leap of faith. I'm doing it and it's very difficult, but it's just as rewarding.
I love that. And yourself, Rona?
I would say believe in yourself. You know, believe in your dreams. And that thing where people say, oh no, don't dream too big, you know, just be realistic.
I hate that.
Don't be realistic about it. Please don't.
What is realistic?
You know, what is that? So so don't limit yourself. And yeah, dream big, go out and if you have a dream in your heart and you know that you know that you know that this is what you need to do with your life, then don't back down.
Oh, and I love that. And I think that's a powerful message from both of you. It's pretty much like you have to charge ahead. And it is difficult. No one is saying it's an easy journey. I think a lot of the time people will tell you that, oh, you know, find something where you'll never have to work a day in your life. I'm like, oh, wouldn't that be fun? But, you know, most of the time when you actually find your purpose or you find something that you really want to do and you really want to achieve, that is the hardest work you'll ever put in because you want it so badly, right? And I think it's just people not giving up and thinking that, oh, if it was meant to be, it would have happened. If it was meant to be, you'll make it happen.
You know?
And Simi, what do you want to leave us with? Except trying to take Tamisha's job.
Well, besides that, you know, I think two quotes come to mind, I think, maybe. Think global, act local.
Yes, I love that.
Yes. And the second one, don't be scared.
Don't be scared, man.
I think a lot of people, they paralyze by fear. So they don't start because they're scared. I might fail. I might not. What if?
But if you don't start, you'll always fail.
Yes. So don't be scared. Failure is just...
It's the starter pack. It's the I'm going to achieve my dream starter pack.
No, wait, no. You didn't fail. You just found another way.
Yeah. That it wouldn't work.
Yes. Tell yourself that. You don't fail. It's
no,
just,
but you know what? Yeah. Failure is actually where you do your most growth. Because in success, you become comfortable. Because you're like, oh, I'm doing it well. So I'm going to keep doing it the way I'm doing it. Until you hit a roadblock where you're like, oh, damn. I need
what
to change something, right?
Like,
and it's in those moments of failure that your character gets crafted, where you become the person you're supposed to be in order to achieve that dream. Because all of us think we're ready where we are for the dream to happen. But truthfully, if that dream just landed on your lap, you'd probably squander it. You wouldn't use it to its full potential. But when you struggle to get it, you appreciate it so much more. It's like, how much do you value your free stuff? You don't value free-ish. You're just like, nah.
You look at it and you're like, oh, take a picture.
You're happy. No, you're happy. You're happy when it's free. Like, you're happy when you get it. Like, you're one of the people who got the free thing.
Yes.
And then you get it. Then you're like, aye.
And then you start complaining. You're like, ah, so they only put this in. Ah, like, really? Couldn't they have, ah, come on now. Come
they
on.
Couldn't
like,
even
they
bulk could, up.
Yeah, they could have done better. You know, last year's one was so much better. You know, I'm like, going to complain.
Forgetting then, that it's free.
And then what you do, you're like, I'm going to complain. You get home and you toss it aside and you don't ever use it. Yes. Don't ever open it. You're just like, it's just there. But if you bought it with your own money, you're going to be like, ooh, this now.
You even look at people's side eye if they try and do something crazy to it. You're like, excuse, wait. Just carry it carefully. I don't know why you're so aggressive with my stuff.
It like, might not cost you a lot of money, but it cost me a lot of money, okay? I work hard for that money, all right?
My time and money.
You know, like, you know? Don't mess with my thing.
Yes, I love that. This has been such a fun show. This has been a cool women's empowerment special.
Yeah.
And next week, T-Mash will be back.
Hopefully not.
Well, I won't be here, so you'll probably be here standing in for me, because that's how you do. You just swing between us.
Yeah, and then you never know. One day, it just might be like, it's my picture, girl, my picture. I'm on the weekly mashup, and I'm on my own. Thank you so much.
I have replaced them. That picture on the wall will
that's
be of you.
That's the plan, y'all. That's the plan. Just letting y'all know. That's the plan.
So before Z steals my job, guys, don't forget to be kind to yourself and be kind to one another. Until next week, we love you. Thank you for tuning in.
This is CliffCentral.com.